And built the new art gallery. It's become
yeah, different.
I don't know what to point you down, it was built by many hundreds, if not thousands, of people. Designed the new art gallery. Thank you.
In the year it was The year it opened, we were shortlisted for the Stirling Prize for Architecture. Sadly, we didn't get it. We were just pipped at the post. But Walsall and the New Art Gallery Walsall have become a centre for architects and architecture students visiting from all over the world. It's not unusual to come down to the foyer and suddenly find a group of Japanese architecture students all busily making notes and drawings. And this has continued throughout the 10 years. So it's a really exciting building, and it's made incredible waves within the architecture world. So I'm very pleased today to have Peter here to talk to us and take us around the building and tell us all about his design. Over to you, Peter. And hold it.
Would it be possible for you to come a little bit closer, that I don't have to shout so loud? Thank you very much for coming. It's very nice to see so many people here. I wasn't expecting such a large group, and it's great. And it's so nice to come here and see the building full of people and all sorts of different things happening. Such a wonderful feeling. One of the satisfactions of being an architect is to come back and see a building being used sort of how you imagined it. And of course, it isn't exactly how I imagined it, and maybe that's an interesting thing to talk about a little bit in the tour. I was going to take you through four or five different parts of the building, and the tour is going to take about 45 minutes, maybe an hour. And I hope that's okay. There is some seating at different places if you get tired. This building has been a very important part of my life, my professional life, even my personal life. It was a commission that I won with my partner Adam Caruso in an international competition 15 years ago. Project took 4 or 5 years to realise. It was finished 10 years ago. I was a young architect at that time. I had a partner. I didn't even have an assistant. I was teaching part-time. I was building a barn conversion for my sister-in-law. And we used to enter these competitions for opera houses in Japan and galleries in Finland. And then this competition came up for a gallery in Walsall. And we won it, and it was an amazing experience. I went out on the day I heard the result and bought a suit, and I went to an art gallery and I bought a work of art, which I have on my wall, and it reminds me every day of that amazing moment, which transformed my professional life, and as a result led subsequently to many more commissions in the visual arts field, designing galleries, museums and exhibitions with artists and collaborating with artists. So it was a life-changing experience. I wanted to mention the director of the gallery at that time, Peter Jenkinson, who was really the leader of this whole enterprise. And without even meeting him, you could tell in the brief that he wrote for the competition that this guy had a vision for what he wanted to do in Walsall. I don't know if any of you knew Peter. He was an amazing director of the gallery for its first few years. It was a time when the Arts Council were giving out big sums to build arts institutions around the country, and in particular they were trying to give more money to the regions because they were embarrassed about London's excess of arts buildings, and they wanted other parts of the country to have them. And what can I say? I suppose if you go to most art galleries, you'll go into a building, it might be a kind of polite brick on the outside, and you'll go inside and it'll be mainly white. There'll be some chrome details, and there'll be some big banners telling you, with jumping children, let's say, telling you what's going to go on inside that building, and there'll be a light wooden floor. And the architecture, and I'm generalizing here, will generally be a kind of polite, easy modernism. Now, we didn't do any of that with this building, and our idea for the building came, I would say, out of Peter Jenkinson's inspiring brief, which was about using lottery money to make an amazing public building for Walsall, to make an investment in a region where people buy a lot of lottery tickets, to make a really high quality public building. And I suppose our idea for the building was that it was a sort of people's palace, like a kind of, it had the luxury of a country house or a historic home, but we're building it in the middle of the town, and we're building it for all the people of Walsall, not just for the lord and lady who stand up in their castle and look out over their lands. So a kind of people's palace. And I would say we were looking for a certain grandness about the building, the kind of grandness that you see when you go to the Victorian Town Hall, public buildings in Walsall that were built 100 years ago and none of which have been built with that quality since. So there was this amazing opportunity to invest in a really special piece of public architecture in Walsall, to make a grand building that would be a destination. Not necessarily a destination for everyone in the country to come to Walsall, that's a bit unrealistic, but a very special place in Walsall, a modern place where you could bring your family or your visitors on a weekend and really feel like you were going somewhere special. That's why it's like it is. And that's why the building goes up into the air. It's a tower. It's announcing itself to the whole of the town. It's making a new figure in the town. It's a little bit like we use the analogy of this building at this end of Walsall with St Matthew's Church on the hill at the other end, and those two buildings marking out the centre of the town. It's also why the building has such tall spaces, because they have a grandness about them. It's why the materials are rich and dark, the kind of materials that you might find in a really special Victorian building or in a country home. So there's a shiny dark floor, there's quite a lot of timber, there's leather, because, well, you know why, there's leather. There's an air of luxury about it. And then there was the collection, which maybe I should have mentioned at the beginning, the Garman Ryan collection. And I came up for the first time when we were working on the competition, and the collection was on the Hessian walls in the... No, it wasn't on the Hessian walls, it was on the white walls in the Carnegie Library next to the Town Hall. What an amazing treasure, and such an extraordinary thing to see a Van Gogh drawing and a Modigliani drawing in this place that I've never been to before. Such an extraordinary discovery, and also a kind of intimacy about the collection and the scale of the collection. So that's the other reason why the building is like a kind of house. It's like a grand house, because we thought that the collection, which is the real reason why the gallery is here, would be best shown not in a big white-walled, blandly lit art gallery spaces, but the collection would look really good if you could show it in rooms that had a certain domestic scale. A bit grand, but not too grand. And that you could gather the collection, which has these different themes, into rooms. And that the rooms would feel like rooms because they had wooden floors and they had windows. So those were two reasons why we made this kind of house-like building. So, if you don't mind, I thought we'd just go outside briefly. I know it's not very warm, because I wanted to talk about the outside briefly. And if you could indulge me, we're going to go over to the left, on the left-hand side of the basin, and have a look at the building. And I'll talk for a couple of minutes and then walk back. And if you can't stand it, you just wait here.
Most people still got their coats on, so that's all right. I'll gather mine.
Go through Costa?
Yeah, go through Costa. We can go through Costa.
We go through Costa, yeah. It's closer. Troop through Costa.
When you've LE Joe with the Peter.
Should I get him to hold it? Ask him to hold it.
Doesn't mind.
Yeah, he probably won't. As long as he doesn't press a button and do what Chris did in that time, which is hold it down.
No.
Going, Peter? How far are we going? I'm giving the microphone. So that we can look back at it, I think. Peter, can I just give you the microphone? If you don't touch any of the buttons, just hold it. And,
okay.
I think it'll be easier than trying to chase after you.
Okay. There, so there's a building over there that I want to look at.
Oh, right. Okay. So where are we going?
We're going just where that boy is.
Is it slowly starting to happen here?
Yes, it is, yes.
10 years it's taken, but and it is very slow. You believe we're going to get a Comfort Inn over here?
How are you?
Believe
right, so,
but
so you're
but
not getting
changed.
The Willowsop oyster thing?
Not, it doesn't sound like it now, but there's been so many changes, so I'm not counting on anything. Really.
Right.
So. Fall in the canal, please.
There's enough room. I'm sure there is. Don't fall in the canal, will you? That wouldn't be good. I know it's not very deep, but... Okay, thank you for coming out here. And I'll be brief. One of the special things about the site was this arm of the canal. It's the remains of, as I'm sure you know, the industrial wharf that used to be here that came in on the east side of the town, and the reason this development is here is because most of those buildings have now gone, most of that activity has gone, and this is an extension to the town. And our idea, okay, the idea of the building was not only that it would go up into the air so that you saw it from around, but also that it was placed on the alignment of this canal, which is sort of straight, so that the building and the canal are in a line, and you see that when you go up in the building and you look out of the windows down it, like the relationship of a country house to its lake, let's say, or its avenue, and it's kind of a little bit like a joke, but a nice joke that. We're turning the industrial remnants of the site into something that has a kind of positive grandness about it. And we always were looking for these ideas about trying to make the building feel as if it belonged in the site. The last thing we wanted to do was to make a work of architecture that was so full of itself, that was so flashy, that it didn't... that it made everything around it look ordinary. So we were trying to connect it, and we did that in the way that it's made. It's made with a cladding of clay, the tiles of terracotta, so that it has some connection with the brick buildings that are around it. But it's also in its shape, which has this kind of horn... figural shape to it. It's a little bit like a kind of like a sphinx, let's say, facing into the front of the town. We're looking at the back, and this broken top where there's a terrace and then there's the top of a meeting room and then there's the very top part with this shiny stainless steel cladding, which is the what was intended to be the last public room of the building, a cafe. And the building has this, it's not like the kind of Norman Foster's gherkin with this beautiful cucumber shape. It's slightly broken and pathetic at the top. And this came from the reason I brought you here, this water tower building over there, the building that has BOAK on the top. There are some amazing buildings, and it's not the only one. These old pieces of industrial architecture, which have this interesting quality of being partly designed by engineers, probably architects weren't even involved, which gives them a slightly rather tough, not too precious character. And our building is trying to be a bit like that. It's trying to be not flashy, a sort of rather sturdy, quiet building which has a lot of depth to it but isn't necessarily telling you everything about itself in one go. And I think we can go back now. Okay.
Why did you do the horizontal?
The horizontal. Maybe I could say, I hadn't said anything about what it looks like. Okay. The windows and the tiles. The horizontal, the tiles are organizing all of these different windows, and the windows are providing light to each of the rooms wherever they're really required. So the windows are almost always in the correct position in the spaces behind. And there are different sizes. The horizontal window above is providing clear story light over the top of the wall of the galleries in the temporary exhibition spaces. And the small windows are windows into the Garman Ryan collection. And all the elevations are different. They make a kind of informal pattern, which we described as being rather like the plumage of a bird, where the figure of the bird inside is actually rather skinny and weak, but when it's got its plumage on, it's making something magnificent. But it's also about avoiding symmetries, avoiding anything that's too powerful as a figure or as a statement. The building is a sum of all sorts of interesting different parts. And that's why it has this informal arrangement. It's like a coming together, a cluster of different rooms, which we're now going to go and have a quick look at. Thank you. Is that okay? Am I talking too much?
No, you're not.
when Urban Splash went in with Alsa from the master plan here,
yes.
Your building was there. Were you involved in that work? Or was it,
no,
was it done in a
no.
complete...
Well, one of us was on the jury for choosing Urban Splash, although we didn't actually want them. So we were sort of involved. But since then, not involved at all. I didn't say anything about this, is it? What can one say? It just isn't happening yet, is it?
We were looking at this side last year, but I think the oysters were not really successful.
Right. I saw a picture of that. It rather horrified me. Will Alsop was in the competition for the building, and so I always felt he was trying to get back at us. So. But that's just me being paranoid. I'd like the buildings just to line the edge of the canal and make a kind of nice public sheltered space down there.
We spent some time looking at some alternatives to the oysters last year. With
yes.
The Glen Howells, but it was... Yeah, it was... The only thing which was actually which made any sense, you know, that massive one was your building, which wasn't really part of it.
Yes. So, did you say you worked for Glen Howells?
Yeah, there's quite a few of us.
Right, I see. Well, we thought the building and the canal made a very strong figure, and that the future development could respect that.
I think that's it is making that statement, and I think whatever future of that site will be, I think that's definitely.
Let's hope. Okay, we're going into the we're going up to the Garman Ryan Hall now. Okay, we're going up to the hall. Okay. First floor.
First floor.
Yes. Am I supposed to do anything
in the Garman Ryan hallway?
Yes.
Okay.